The FRB Show.
And I do not even feel worthy to be here bringing you this information. And it just absolutely brought me to a place I've never been to, you know, where God just really says, you want to see the evil? Here it is. Feel it. And to feel what the children are feeling, God Almighty. Folks, we gotta get good people to stand up against these people. I probably shouldn't even have done this radio show today. Where are the men in this country? Where are the men in this world? What the hell have we become? We just offer our children up to the system with the fluoride and the water and the GMO hurting them, and we let fat perverts grab them at the airport to train them for the pedophile government. And we've just got such a sick society.
All right, welcome to the Filthy FRB Show for Saturday, April 11th. Of course, I'm FRB, and I'm joined by UFC enhancement talent, Tom Lawler. What's going on, Tom?
Not too much. Just got done watching this, the end of this UFC Poland show and catching up with that. So my weekend's been filled with watching Bellator, World Series of Fighting, and now the UFC. So I'm looking forward to watching some WNBA later on and relaxing.
Well, actually, you don't have to watch the WNBA because, you know, the World Cup of Wrestling is on at 6 Eastern, about 15 minutes. And it's a free stream on what the organization that used to be called FILA. I forget what they're called now. United World Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the World Cup, and that's all of our top guys. I mean, that's our A team that we sent to LA. I don't know. I think it's a
PA dual. It's going to be there.
The what?
You said the A team.
Yeah, I just meant, you know, because some of the countries, they don't send their top guys to all the international competitions sometimes. So I know the first duel is against Cuba, and then the second one is against Russia. So I don't know what guys that Russia sent, but I know the team that we have there is the best guys in the country.
Yeah. I pulled up the Russian lineup, and it's got Nikolai Volkov, Nikita Kolov, Rusev, amongst many others. So should be a good duel.
Well, how about the Iron Sheik? Didn't he join a coalition with Volkov in the 80s?
Yeah, he may be coming in as a special guest for him. We'll see.
Well, the first thing that I just wanted to recap a little bit was Bellator last night. And, you know, I didn't watch the prelims. So I can't really comment too much on Joey Beltran beating Brian Rogers. I mean, I heard that second round, a lot of people thought it was a 10-8. Beltran put it on Brian pretty hard. And the scores, majority decision, 29-27, 29-28 for Joey Beltran, and then a 28-28 card, which would be the second round being well, what would that mean?
It was a
10-8, and then the Brian
two
won.
Rounds
won the, yeah. Did you get a chance to see it at all?
No, I didn't. I was able to catch the main card. Actually, at this point, I was out picking up my winnings from Duke basketball last weekend. So.
Oh, okay. Because when you sent me that message, I thought you were doing something like really underhand, and you were talking in code, but you were really just picking up a bet.
Yeah. And actually, let's talk about this before we get into Bellator, because it's a pretty interesting story. So last week, I bet on Duke at one of the casinos here in Vegas. I bet the spread. What did I bet? I bet the over. I'm sorry. I bet the over for Kentucky, Wisconsin. Okay. So I win that bet, and I go to the casino that day, or it must have been the next day, I can't remember, to pick up the winnings right, and go to the buffet because it's Easter Sunday. Well, when we get there, it's kind of blocked off, and we don't know what's going on. And we walk all the way around to the buffet, and there's caution tape everywhere. So I'm in the bathroom, and somebody's like, hey, did you hear what happened? No, go ahead and tell me. Well, apparently, and I confirmed it later on, you know, through the news, a guy had won the free buffet for life like 2 years or 3 years prior, but had started harassing the employees, right? So this guy decides on Easter Sunday he's going to go into the buffet because it ruined his life. He had a two-hour DVD he left behind, like a 200-page strongly worded letter directed at the casino. He goes into the buffet and blows his brains out in the buffet. And, so like that part was shut down. The sports book was shut down. I couldn't get my money that day.
Why would that be a reason to shut down the casino? I mean, just because this guy decided to be an attention whore and, you know, wanted to put himself over in front of all the people and, you know, blow everybody's spot. And I read the article that you sent me on this.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to me that this guy thought he was so important that his suicide note needed a table of contents. Is that the height of self-importance? I mean, why take yourself so seriously?
I don't know. I still have yet to be to that buffet and go there and eat yet either. So, I mean, you know, the food could be mind-blowing. I'm not really sure. I've heard it's killer, but maybe I'll find out in the future. So anyways, that's why I was picking up that Duke money, or I'm sorry, the Kentucky-Wisconsin money. I also won on Duke last week, and that's why I keep getting mixed up. So I didn't catch a prelim card.
Did you do the money line, or did you do like Duke minus one? Or
I went over the – what is it? Over the
– oh, I thought it was 140. I could be wrong on that though.
Yeah, it was like 141 or something. 141 and a half.
Yeah.
So –
yeah, that was a really good game. But getting back to Bellator, I mean, the first one that I saw was Tony Johnson versus the aforementioned Nikolai Volkov's son, Alexander. Did you get to see it?
Yeah. I thought it was one of the most boring fights I've ever seen in my life. What did you think?
Well, I mean, there wasn't much to it. I mean, they said Tony Johnson wrestled at Iowa State. I don't think he wasn't a big star or anything because I really had never heard of him. But, you know, he just looks like a guy who just has one plan, and that's to get you against the fence and grind on you. And Volkov is 6'6", 240 pounds, although he doesn't even look 240. So he can get pushed around by a strong wrestler like Johnson. And that was pretty much all it was. I mean, Johnson clearly won the first two rounds, and then Volkov took the second, the third round. He got some strikes in. One judge gave it 29-28 Volkov, which I don't know. Maybe that was the Iron Sheik scoring that card. I don't understand how Volkov could have won rounds one or two.
Yeah, no clue. No clue either. This was a terrible fight. I mean, Johnson pretty much just laid on him against the cage for the majority of the time. He didn't look great, and Volkov looked even worse. Is basically what I took from the fight. If you are wondering whether to watch this fight or not, hell no, skip it.
Yeah, definitely don't watch this. And Johnson, he's 9-2 now, and I'm just wondering why I never really heard of him. But I guess maybe because his fights aren't all that important. But you know, to go back to talk about another WWE 1980s early 90s legend, the incomparable Virgil. You're aware of this gentleman, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Well, Virgil, I was on YouTube messing around, and I saw he was bullshitting with the fans, you know, trying to hustle them like he always does. Like, he'll sign an autograph or do a picture, and then, like, after it's done, he'll hustle you for the money. You know, so it's like a three-card money. It's all bullshit. So Virgil is telling one of the fans that he won three national championships at the University of Iowa for Dan Gable, and he said the University of Iowa in Ames. And of course, the University of Iowa is in Iowa City.
Yeah.
You really have to watch it to appreciate the humor. Three-time national champion.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with that guy?
You know, we actually did...
Let's get a Kickstarter and get him on the show. Maybe that should be our way to get him on.
Well, yeah, I can't afford the guy because, I mean, people thought I was joking. It literally does cost $1,000 to do an interview with him. That's how much he...
Kickstarter. You may be able to do it.
You know, we actually did get a chance to kind of debrief after WrestleMania. And, you know, I was on Twitter, like, nonstop trying to see if there were any Virgil sightings. And I don't think he was there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see him?
No, but I was with the rest of the plebeians, you know.
You were with the Kings.
No. I was the Dusty Rhodes of the MMA community. You got you, and you're up in the box. You got the four horsewomen ringside, and I'm paying a couple $100 to sit up in the bleachers. So,
yeah, how pissed do you think WWE was that Ronda's like, yeah, I need three tickets for my friends, and then they have they act like the horsewomen are like, I mean, that's the job squad. I mean, those tickets I think were like $5,000 a pop if you were to sell it to the public, and I could see, you know, giving one to Ronda to bring one other person, but then to get two more for I forget their name. I mean, these girls haven't won a fight in the UFC.
Dana Baszler, Marina Shafir, whatever, then Jessamyn Duke.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but they've made a career out of following Ronda around everywhere. And Ronda, I guess, like a good friend, you know, gets them these seats. But if I was WWE, I would have been pissed off, be like, no, you get one more and that's it.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, I think Nate Diaz was there. Gilbert Melendez was there. Daniel Cormier was in the next section next to Chael and I. I'm trying to think who else, if there was anybody else from MMA. But, you know, I was at the Mania after party, and I marked out Shooter Jennings was there. And I don't know if that's your genre of music, Tom, but...
No, I don't know who the hell that is.
You don't
is.
Know that? Well, do you know who Waylon Jennings is?
Yeah, that wasn't that Dan Spivey's gimmick for a while in WWF?
That's Waylon Mercy. Waylon Jennings. Yeah. Waylon Jennings is a legendary country singer. He did the theme for the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
And his son is Shooter Jennings, who does kind of like a alternative country rock type music. So yeah. He was there, you know, and then pretty much everybody from WWE, you know, they were having a good time. But yeah, just getting back to Bellator. So then Marcin Held and Saranowski, Alexander, or Tiger Saranowski, that, as they call him. I don't know why they call him that. But Held pretty much just dominated him for two rounds, and then in the third round, he knee-barred him, and it was another verbal tap because he screamed just like Joe Warren, and I think that was also called by Big John McCarthy. So did you have any thoughts on Held and Saranowski?
Yeah, you know, I often get asked, like, who's my favorite fighter? And I'm not going to say Marcin Held is my favorite fighter, but he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. That's for sure. This guy is just like relentless with leg locks. Unbelievable. He goes after him from any angle. He's throwing up submissions from anywhere. He'll, he'll put himself in a little bit of danger to try to get a takedown. And like realistically, he'll hit people with strikes as well. His defense leaves a little bit to be desired in that realm. But, you know, I thought he looked awesome here. He transitions beautifully on the ground. And, you know, as far as like MMA goes today, he's probably one of the top grapplers and definitely one of the most fun grapplers to watch.
For sure. And I liked his promo after the fight. He speaks clear English, but, you know, it is a little, you know, it's obviously not his first language. And Jimmy Smith is asking him the questions, and he said, yeah, it'll be an easy fight, meaning the winner of Jansen and Will Brooks. But I think he specifically said that Will Brooks would be the easier fight. Jansen would be the more difficult fight. But he said, yeah. And it wasn't, he didn't say it with like, he was yelling or anything. He just said, it's an easy fight.
Yeah. Polish humor maybe doesn't translate too well.
I thought it was great because he just kind of said it, and he totally stuck to the gimmick. He wasn't trying to get a reaction at anybody. I guess he just really thinks that.
Yeah, well, hey, he's being truthful.
Which
it's awesome, man. If you enjoy grappling, for sure, this is like a great fight to watch. And if you don't, you're an idiot. So. That's pretty much how I look at it. Check this fight out.
Sure. And then we had Joe Schilling, the kickboxing star from Glory, yep, and Bellator fighter, versus Rafael Carvalho. And this was a fight, you know, you have Joe Schilling come over to Bellator for one reason. That's to put him against guys who are not going to take him down, and it's not going to go to the ground game. He's not clueless on the ground. I mean, he's picked up some things, you know, but it's not a strong point. It's not like he's going to get up even against a guy like Carvalho who, you know, from what I saw, he's basically a Muay Thai guy. Not even though he's Brazilian, I don't know if he has much of a background in jiu-jitsu other than, you know, just learning enough to get by. But Schilling lit him up a few times, and then Carvalho was just like, hey, forget this. I'm gonna grind this one out and keep you on the mat. So it was really disappointing, at least to me.
Yeah, you could tell Schilling like was the better fighter on the feet for sure. I mean, that was very apparent. But it just seemed like Carvalho, once he got on top, didn't do a whole lot. Just held him there, and I don't know. I never got like a sense of urgency from Schilling. You know. I thought that Schilling won the first round for sure. Carvalho probably won the second round. And going into the third, you know, it depends on how you score this one. Carvalho had gotten on top and laid there for about, I don't know, the last 2.5 or 3 minutes of the round. Is that about right, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, he had control, you know, but Schilling did have a knockdown. I mean, Wheelock kind of categorized it as a flash knockdown. I mean, and it didn't look like he was hurt that badly, but it was a knockdown.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that happened kind of earlier in the round. So, you know, it depends. You get a split decision here. The 30-27 for Carvalho, that judge is a moron. But, you know, I could see scoring that third round either way. It just depends on if you're going to score that that knockdown by Schilling, you know, more than you will the takedown and the ground control by Carvalho.
Yeah, and I can't believe this Carvalho guy is too high on the list of Rich Chu today, because it's like, hey, man, I gave you this opportunity on the, you know, national TV broadcast to fight Joe Schilling, expecting you to duke it out because, you know, you had 9 wins coming in, all of them by knockout and TKO. We didn't expect you to lay and pray on this guy. So I think there's an unspoken agreement that if you're booked with Joe Schilling, you're supposed to settle it on the feet, and whoever is left standing at the end is the winner.
Yeah, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. If there's an unspoken agreement going into the fight, you go in there and you try to fucking win. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I understand, but I don't think that's the way they book Joe Schilling. They're not booking him to try to, you know, to try to win an MMA title. All they want is another highlight. They want another Manhoff highlight.
Yeah, that's fine. Then they got to book somebody that they're damn sure will stand and trade. I mean,
well, I think Carvalho didn't get the memo. I don't think he understood. So I there might be some heat on the guy.
I don't know. I mean, no one's going to be begging to see him fight again, but I can't imagine that the promotion's upset with him. I mean, he went out there and won the fight. That's what you expect the guys to do.
I would bury him. I'd put him on the opening prelim with the guys that are 3-11 that, you know, are only on the card because they sold 72 tickets to their buddies.
Uh-huh.
That's what would happen.
I'm not gonna tell you that that's the wrong strategy. I'm just saying you can't be mad at the guy for winning the fight.
Yeah, so they're gonna have to find what they should do is they should find some kickboxers, bring the guys over from Glory, and have Schilling in there with the 4 ounce gloves against other kickboxers that can't take him down, and then you'll get your highlights because I think that's what they're after. I mean, what other reason does it serve to have Schilling fight MMA?
Well, I mean, I would have thought that he would have been able to stand up at the end in that third round. You know, Carvalho didn't look great on the ground once he got it there. I was surprised that Schilling couldn't get up.
Yeah, I mean, other than that sweep in the first round.
Too, man. You know, you got to put some of the blame on Schilling.
Yeah, I mean, other than that sweep in the first round by Schilling, yeah, he looked like, you know, foreign to the ground.
Yeah, he was just kind of content to lay there. It was, not too impressed. But
yeah, I don't think he knew what to do. You know, and there's a reason why he, you know, I think his MMA record is like it's pretty bad, isn't it? Like 2-4, 2-5
maybe now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so they got to book him smarter, or you know, I don't really see why you should book him in Bellator. Unless you got somebody that you know is just, but you know that reminds me. There's a little controversy going on Twitter right now between Phil Baroni and Joe Schilling. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see it. Did you see it, Tom? Or I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I caught that earlier.
Yeah, so I mean, Baroni he never wrestles anymore. I mean, he's always looking for a payday. Do you think they'd sanction that fight? I think Schilling would hurt him really bad.
I'd watch that fight for sure. Yeah, why wouldn't they sanction it? Come on. You get guys sanctioned after massive amounts of PED use. You got a bunch of other shit going on. Yeah. I'd like to see that fight, Baroni versus Schilling. Sign it. Take my money.
Yeah, I think they'll look into it. I mean, if they signed Kimbo, they signed Ken Shamrock. He's 51 years old. I mean, why not Phil Baroni? You know, he's a well-known name, and at this point in his career, he's probably not going to cost a ton of money. And, you know, he's going to run his mouth and say a ton of shit. Yep. And it's going to upset somebody. So, and that's the stuff that sells. It works every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
So that leaves us with Brooks and the fugitive, Dave Jansen. Is that the last fight that we haven't talked about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Jansen came out in the first round looking pretty good, you know, and I think it was pretty unanimous that he won the first round, and then Brooks basically took over and won 4 out of the 5 rounds on the judges' scorecard. Anything stick out to you this fight, or what'd you think of it?
Yeah, that first round by Jansen, he was doing a lot of unorthodox stuff, you know, as far as he goes, and being a lot more aggressive than usual, pushing the pace. And I think it caught Brooks off guard at first. It took him a while to adjust, but once they got to the second round, I mean, Brooks just outclassed him, basically. He was a step ahead the whole time. It wasn't as if he was putting a massive beating on Jansen, but yeah, he was definitely controlling him. And, you know, I thought Brooks looked like one of the best lightweights in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be an interesting matchup with Held and Will Brooks. You know, give us a little quick breakdown of who do you think has the advantage there?
Well, I'd have to say that Will Brooks would hold the advantage pretty much in all facets except for the submission game, obviously. You know, Brooks has better takedowns, better takedown defense, I would imagine, and his striking is definitely more crisp than Held. But Held is, you know, shown that he's able to get the fight to the ground one way or another by rushing in at guys and getting them against the cage and getting the takedown. And once he's there, he's just relentless looking for submissions. And I haven't seen Brooks fight anybody that really pushes the pace with submissions like Held does. And honestly, not a lot of guys in Bellator or the UFC or all of MMA push the pace with submissions like Held does. So he's always dangerous. It's kind of like getting in there with Paul Harris, but you know, he's going to let go when you tap.
Yeah, he doesn't have a 60 IQ is what you're saying. Nobody tell him I said that, okay? Please. he does seem like he's a little simple-minded because directions seemingly just go right over his head. But yeah, just sticking with Bellator a little bit, May 15th is their next one in Temecula, California. It's going to be headlined by Brandon Halsey, who I'm really impressed by this guy. You know, he's just a real strong wrestler. You know, I don't really know how good he is. You know, he hasn't fought anybody. And he really doesn't have any reason to leave Bellator because he's getting paid a ton of money to beat up some bums. So get this. He's defending his belt against Kendall Grove.
Yeah, I got it.
I mean, Kendall Grove, you know, at one time was a respectable fighter in the UFC. But, you know, here we are in 2015. You got a guy who's got 14 losses on his record fighting for a title. You know, I guess, and they beat that, he beat the guy, Christian Pumbu, or whatever the guy's name is, you know, the former champion.
Yeah, Christian Pumbu.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, to me, Bellator really needs to start doing some scouting at 185 pounds and find some guys for Halsey to fight, because, you know, running Kendall Grove out there in a national TV audience for a belt, it isn't the best look, at least to me.
Yeah, well, you know, you bring up the thing about Grove having 14 losses, Brian, but, you know, Robbie Lawler's got double-digit losses as well, and nobody's bitching about seeing him fight. I mean, I know what you're saying. They're not the same fighter. It's not the same, but, you know, Grove is at least respectable coming off. He's got some good wins recently, you know, the win over Mpumbu. He also beat Joe Vedipo, you know, so he's had some tough losses along the way, but, you know, he's a respectable opponent. And I mean, what else can you ask for against Halsey? I mean, who else is there for him to fight at 185?
Well, I think that's the reality of it. There really isn't nobody. I mean, you know, at 185, you know, he's fought Brett Cooper, who I thought was more effective at welterweight. He fought him in summer 2014. And then he fought Shlomenko, who is, to me, another welterweight. And, I mean, he looked like an undersized middleweight, you know, even when he was on copious amounts of testosterone, a 55-1 TDE ratio, which tells me that I, you know, and you know, what was interesting about that was his physique. When he failed that test, his physique looked the same as it looked in every one of his other fights. So
yeah,
that tells me that he's been using it every fight then, because if you're on that much T, there's going to be some positive changes in your physique, and there was none on him.
Yeah. Have you made any headway on getting his wife on the show here?
Who's that? Shlomenko?
Shlomenko's wife. Yeah. I want Shlomenko's wife on the show.
Why? Is there something funny about,
she went off on some reporter.
Oh, really?
Asked questions. Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to find the interview.
Did she speak English?
No, it was, in, Russian.
Well, you know what they say about Russian women.
Better.
You know, I mean, they say, you know, all women are crazy, right? But Russian women have the worst reputation.
Really? Yeah. Out of all the women?
That's what I've heard, that they're just insane.
Yeah, well, I don't
like,
know.
Wake up missing an organ or something.
Yeah. For sale on the black market.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about Bellator and then their next card. And, you know, to me, the one that I'm really looking forward to is June 19th. And I think this is the fight, you know, like a decade in the making, the fight of the century, probably the best fight that that we're going to see in our lifetime. The world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock, versus street fighting legend Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, boy, is that fight ever, what a barn burner.
No, I mean, to me, it's so risky. The wrestling fan in me is like, you know what? That's awesome. It's so risky to bring in Shamrock, because this is a guy who he doesn't mind just taking a dive. We've seen it when he fought Buzz Berry in Cage Rage. That punch didn't come within a foot of his face. You know, literally, like, seriously, it was a foot away from his face and he fell down and sold it. I mean, Kimbo's going to throw one punch and he's going to get into the fetal position. I mean, it's so ballsy because it's so risky. I mean, if Shamrock doesn't sell this well, if it looks terrible, it's really embarrassing to Bellator.
What if the fight doesn't happen? What if Shamrock injures himself and they have to have Seth Petruzzelli step in the day of? How awesome would that be?
Well, I wonder where you got that idea. That's kind of sounds a little familiar.
Fantasy booking. Sounds ridiculous.
Fantasy booking. Yeah, I would like to see that because I think, you know, Seth is obviously, even though he's retired, I mean, he's still a better fighter now than Kimbo and was better than Kimbo.
Hey, listen. You can't say that kind of stuff about Seth. He's slow, but I wouldn't say he's retarded.
Who are we talking about?
Seth.
I said he was a better fighter than Kimbo.
I thought you said he was retarded, even though he's retarded. Oh.
Oh. Okay. Did I mean, I am having a few cold ones. I meant retired. Did I say retarded?
Okay, go on.
Hopefully I didn't say retarded. I try not to say that. I think that's a kind of an insensitive word. So I meant retired. But yeah, so I don't know, man. I think it could be the greatest thing ever, Shamrock and Kimbo, or it's really risky because Shamrock, he'll go into business for himself. He doesn't care about the company.
Yeah, well, it could be the St. Louis screw job. You never know. Who knows what's going to happen in this one? I'll be watching it. That's for damn sure.
Well, I mean, that's why they're doing it. I mean, maybe Coker will run into the cage or something, you know, right as the bell is rung, and it caused some kind of controversy. I mean, there's so many directions they can go in with this.
Yeah. I mean, me, myself, I'd have a twin Mike Beltran in the cage. You know, maybe Mike Beltran takes a ref bump and his twin comes out and you know, screws over Shamrock, setting up a rematch.
But if you're going to look at it, like, what if it's going to be a total shoot, and if you're Shamrock, what do? You walk across the cage, roll for a knee bar, and if it doesn't work, let him pound you out? Well, but say you're 51, the 51-year-old Tom Lawler, and your best years are behind you. Is that how you would go after Kimbo Slice?
I'd shoot a double leg immediately. I would just shoot a double leg and put him on his back and submit him. Probably with something like a rear naked probably a rear naked.
You think Ken is capable of that at this age? Because, you know, Kimbo's not a wrestler, but, I mean, shit, didn't he throw around Mitrione? I mean, the guy's strong as hell.
Yeah, I'm sure he's strong, but, I mean, come on. Technique triumphs overall. Although, at this point, who knows if Ken Shamrock has the technique? That's the problem.
Yeah, who knows? I mean,
if I'm 51 years old, I'm Ken Shamrock, I'm trying to take him down, and I'm trying to submit him somehow. Because, I mean, what's your other option? Stand and bang and probably get KO'd.
Yeah, that's definitely not an option because, I mean, the second he gets hit, you know he's going to take a dive. I mean, he's done it before. He did it when – it was so weird. It's like he did it in England, and I think he had a big fight on the horizon here in the States. I think they were seriously considering doing him versus Frank. It's just like, why would you take a dive and embarrass yourself when you have this – match that could actually make you big money?
If Shamrock wins, who do you match him up with?
My God, Lashley?
Yeah.
Oh, Lashley's too good, though.
Well, are they going to bring in Bob Sapp? How about that? Let's see Shamrock versus Bob Sapp.
You know, it's funny you mention that. You know, we've had Jason Floyd, who covers Bellator closer than anybody in the media. And he had mentioned to me, and he said, I'm not joking about this. If they brought in Bob Sapp, I think that would make a lot of sense. And interestingly enough, there was an interview on Bloody Elbow. This guy, John Nash, went to Coker's office and they were just, you know, bullshitting about the old days in Japan. And Coker goes into like a 5-minute story about Bob Sapp out of all people. And I'm just like, is there something? Is he trying to tell us something?
Yeah. Hey, I could see that, you know, what happens if Shamrock drops out of this fight? You know, the guy's old. He's got to get licensed by the commission. I mean, what if it all doesn't go through? You know, what if he's on some shit and gets popped? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You know, if he has to drop out or if Kimbo drops out, hey, Bob Sapp's probably the first person I'd be calling.
Yeah, I mean, Sapp would be the guy. The only thing is, you know, is the commission going to bring him in front of, a, you know, the members of the commission and have him answer to, you know, doing all those fake matches in Japan? I mean, you know, if I'm the Missouri commission, I wouldn't question him because, you know, they only have one big fight a year there. They need this gate to cover their operating budget. So I don't see why they would do it from a business point of view. But isn't that something a commission's supposed to do? You know, hey, you've done a lot of fake fights. Are you going to do a fake fight under our watch too?
Yeah, I mean, conceivably.
I mean, I can't see him. I guess I shouldn't say they're fake fights because it looks like for the first like 5 or 10 seconds, he's for real. But then, you know, he gets hit and then he said, you know, let's go home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so we covered Bellator a little bit here and World Series of Fighting 20. I didn't see it, but you had the pleasure of watching it. And so bring us up to speed here. Is this worth catching if the people recorded it on DVR?
All right. So if you recorded it, you know, I'll tell you which fights to watch, which ones not to. And if you watch it live, you already know. So I don't know what to tell you. But the first fight was Ozzy Dagulubugov, who I think is related to what would it be? Maybe Austin Powers. Isn't there a woman in Austin Powers with a similar name?
what's the name again?
I don't know. Dagulubugov.
Islam. Is that his name? It fought
Dagulubgov? Dagulubgov.
Oh, Ozzy Dagulubgov. I'm looking at the prelims. Yeah. Dagulubgov.
Yes. Yeah. Ozzy Dagulubgov defeated Lucas Montoya 3 minutes, 39 seconds of the first round. Doctor stoppage. It was weird. I think Montoya dislocated his arm, dislocated his right shoulder, it looked like. He was actually, from what I remember, he was on top. Had gotten a takedown, and they stopped the match, and you know, his shoulder was out, and they stopped it, and Ozzy Dagulubgov won the fight. Woohoo! Great. Don't watch it. It sucked. It was 3 minutes and 39 seconds, and I'm bitching about the fight. So
yes. That tells you. So did Ozzy get screwed here? He was supposed to have a match with Melvin Gillard a little bit higher up on the card, and then Gillard just went MIA or something.
Yeah. So I guess Gillard, they gave him like a deadline to turn his medicals, didn't do it. And they gave him another deadline. And by the time that one had expired, they hadn't heard anything from Gillard. And it's weird because, also John Morgan, I guess he was down at ATT doing a story or whatnot. And, he reported that people were saying they haven't seen Melvin Gillard in, you know, weeks. So it looks like Melvin Gillard may not have even trained for this fight or, you know, who knows what the case is. But he was also doing interviews talking trash about World Series of Fighting. So
really? Well, maybe he went on a coke bender.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, 3 weeks. Is he the only guy besides, I mean, the John Jones situation, which isn't exactly the same. But is he the only guy to test positive for coke, or are there others?
Wow, that's the only one that I remember off the top of my head that, and you know, for that shit, I mean, isn't that out of your system like in 2 days?
Yeah, that's what they say. A couple days.
So he literally did coke the night before the fight.
Yeah, it's strongly possible, which is crazy.
Yeah, and you know, I did some further research, and they say that it's so risky because like coke hardens the blood vessels within your heart, and so like, and you know, and that's what some people were saying about John Jones, like no, it's not just a little minor thing to be caught doing coke while training. That's a major fucking big deal because of the possible effects. It can lead to cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something you should be doing and then do a strenuous activity, physical activity.
What do you mean by further research? Said you did some further research on Coke?
Well, I Google. That's the research.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Twitter. Google and Twitter. Between the two of those, that's all the information. It's good enough for me.
Sure. Yeah, so yeah, Ozzy was going to fight Gallard. Didn't happen. So that's the story.
Yeah, so what else we got here? Oh, Mako. Steve Mako, the four-time NCAA finalist at heavyweight. I think he was a two-time champion, 2008 Olympian. Won the Hodge Trophy. He beat up some jabroni. Pounded the hell out of him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Mako's well, you know, that guy's not a jabroni either, really. Banana, as he's more popularly known, Juliano Coutinho. Yeah, he's not a total scrub, Brian. This guy's pretty well known in the Northeast scene. He was taking a step up in competition here, and you know, you can kind of tell as the fight went on. Coutinho looked a little bit timid. Seemed like he knew going in that he was, you know, he was the underdog and kind of accepted that role. I mean, that's at least how it looked to me. And Mako ended up, you know, just kind of pounding him out. There wasn't a whole lot of offense from Coutinho, and Mako knocked him down and got the stoppage. You know, this fight's worth a look. 4 minutes of your day. Not too bad, and you get to see a guy, especially with such a thin heavyweight division across the world, you get to see a guy that could make some waves in the future with Steve Mako.
Yeah, I just really hope they can keep Mako busy. I mean, he's a guy – he actually fought a friend of mine named Tyler Perry, who wrestled at the University of Missouri. He was the backup for Dom Bradley, who I think was a junior world champion in freestyle, and I don't think he won a national championship, but he was All-American a couple times. Now, assistant coach at West Virginia. So he fought my friend Tyler November 2012, and since then he's only fought 5 fights since November 2nd of 2012. He's already 33 years old. You know, 6 fights. Yeah. I hope the World Series can keep him busy, and you know, because I don't know how much more you can develop at that age. I think what we see now is basically what he's going to be.
Yeah, that's seems to be the biggest problem with him. It just hasn't been active enough. Like you said, he's 33, so you know, what do you do with him after this? He's already lost to the champion of World Series of Fighting, Smiliano Rama. So, I mean, I don't know where you go from here. Do they just have a rematch? I mean, I couldn't tell you many of the other heavyweights. You got Blagoy Ivanov fighting Rama for the title in a show or two. I think it's World Series of Fighting's next show. So I guess maybe Mako's waiting for the winner of that. I don't know.
So the match against Hama, I didn't see it back in February of last year. Was that pretty one-sided? Mako lost, or was it kind of...
I don't know.
You didn't see it either?
Nah, I just know the result.
Right.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. I've only had Kate for a very short time. So, you know, catching all these World Series of Fighting and Bellator and everything else, and a lot of the UFCs is new for me.
Yeah, so, I mean, the next fight, this Phoenix Jones or Ben Fodor or something, whatever his name is. So this guy's been getting a lot of publicity. And to be honest with you, any time I really saw his name, I didn't read it. Because, you know, I just really wasn't interested in the gimmick or the angle. What is it? Like, he has some kind of alter ego that's Phoenix Jones?
What, you don't know about this?
I'm asking because I never read up on it. I just wasn't interested in the angle.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. This guy, apparently in Washington, right, there's a rule that if two people agree to fight, like in public, that they can, as long as they're unarmed. Okay. So basically what this guy's been doing is him and his buddies, there's other guys with him as well, they dress up in superhero costume to conceal their identity. So this guy goes around and basically he will basically like fight people on the street that are doing bad stuff. And you know, that's basically it. Yeah. That's how he's more well known. So ESPN covered it. You know, there's a Ben Folks did a piece on him, a big article. You know, they did pieces all about this. But this has been going on for years. Like, I've known about this guy for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years, this Phoenix Jones character. And Fodor's brother fights for man, he used to fight for Strikeforce.
Oh, Carlos? That's his brother?
Yep. That's his brother. So, you know, the guy, I mean, he's not a terrible fighter. He didn't look good here. But yeah, so that's the deal. He goes around in the superhero costume and basically fights people on the street and gets away with it. And there's video of it everywhere. And, you know, he comes to people's aid. He stops people that are doing bad stuff. So, yeah.
So they say here he's a Seattle-based crime fighter. So, like, so he'll just, like, walk around, like, watching for somebody to get mugged or somebody that's getting bullied by somebody or –
Yeah, you can find video, Brian. If you go on YouTube, you can definitely find video, or if you just Google it, of him fighting people.
Now, I mean, this
stuff's out.
Yeah, so he got defeated by this guy, Emmanuel Wallo. Now,
yeah.
Is he related to the rapper that you went to that show at WrestleMania?
I didn't make it to the show. I wasn't even there. Yeah, but you're talking about Wale, and no.
Wale, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, hey, that was a good one. That was like one of mine. It was
so Wale, you know, like you told me about Wale, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, just some jabroni doing an appearance at a WrestleMania show. Then I look him up; he's got 4 million followers on Twitter, and apparently he's a big deal in the rap industry.
Yeah, kind of like how you're talking about Shooter McGavin or whoever before, and I don't know who that is.
Right.
You know, Wale's in my wheelhouse, so yeah.
You're really into rap. I mean, you just don't you don't seem to be like a hip hop head or whatever they call them.
Yeah, I am.
That's your thing, huh?
Yeah. It was either I had to choose between that or being a juggalo at about age 14. So I just went with being, you know, like a hip hop guy. So yeah, I love it.
No shit. So you grew up in what, suburban Orlando, right?
Nah, man. Suburban Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. When did you go down to Orlando?
What do you want to consider growing up? And that's the question.
Well, I thought you went to high school in Orlando.
I did. But when I was younger, I lived in Massachusetts. Oh. No, I didn't even go to high school in Orlando. I went to high school in Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Man, I'm a world traveler here, Brian.
Yeah, Fort Myers. Yeah, Fort Myers, they got some tough neighborhoods there.
No, not really.
No?
No. It's not too bad. Not too rough.
So
you're not going to find Phoenix Jones out there on the streets of Fort Myers fighting people. So
sure.
It's not too rough.
So the next match here is a guy that
– Hey, we didn't even go over the Wallo-Phoenix Jones fight. Wallo pretty much just took him down for 2 rounds, laid on him. Don't watch this shit. That's my analysis of the fight. And you're not really going to want to watch Ben Fodor fight probably after this either. He didn't show too much.
Yeah, so he got his 15 minutes of fame, and it seems like it's over. So he's going to have to do something on the mean streets of Seattle to get that next wave of publicity. So the next fight,
maybe he'll be attacking some litterers at the nearest Starbucks.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle's one of the major cities I haven't been to. I just can't imagine there's that much crime in Seattle.
No, I think, you know, there's a couple things. I mean, either you're hopped up on caffeine, either probably now, I think they have like legal marijuana, so you could just be high in the coffee shop. Or, you know, you get so depressed you just kill yourself. So.
Well, yeah, on that positive note, we'll talk about a more positive story. Nick Newell, he won his fight. He beat Joe Condell via decision.
Condon? Yeah, Condon. Like condom, but an N instead of an N.
Yeah, this fucking bloody elbow. Let's see, who can I blast here that fucked up?
Did you cut yourself?
Roy Billington, you fucked up your article. You called him Joe, and now you made me sound like an idiot. You called him Joe Condell, Roy Billington. It's Condon, And I knew that because I made a joke on Twitter a couple months ago that Condom Depot should sponsor this guy because there's a tie in there.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah, great.
This guy fucked it up for me. So tell us about the fight.
Okay. So Nick Newell won the first two rounds. Condon just, you know, man, who would I say he looks like? He kind of reminds me of Cody McKenzie, like as far as
the
style. Yeah. As far as his style goes, he doesn't have quite the same great look and facial hairstyle and hairstyle as Cody McKenzie, but fighting style and physique wise kind of reminds me of him.
So 217 pounds of muscle, steel, and sex appeal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of like an emaciated sailor of some sort from Pirates of the Caribbean. But hey, whatever. We'll go with yours. Sure. Well, Nick Newell looks like he could be, you know, at least 165 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. So, Newell won the first two rounds. He looked good. Condon just kind of looked, you know, kind of out of it, out of his element in there almost. Just kind of got outclassed. Third round, he picked up the pace and won it, but too little too late here. Newell didn't look great. Didn't really want you, you know, leaving you want to see a rematch between him and Justin Gaethje. So be interesting to see what they do with Nick Newell from here on out. But you could skip this fight.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, sing Newell's praises for the things that he does, that, you know, despite basically his arm being cut off at the elbow. But it's just unbelievable what he's capable of doing with that handicap. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's beating, like, legitimate guys. What is he, like, 11-1, 11-2?
Yeah, he's only got that one loss to Justin Gaethje. And,
who's a badass, no. Right? Who could, yeah. You know, could cause some problems in the UFC. And yeah, I mean, this guy is really amazing. This is one of those great stories in sports, in all of sports, that, you know, they talk about, because you remember Jim Abbott, right? The pitcher, baseball player.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Pitch for the Angels.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he would do a gimmick because he, similar, he had a one of his arms was only went halfway. So he did a similar gimmick. And everybody thought that, you know, he was unbelievable, but he was throwing a baseball, a baseball at a guy with a wood bat. Here's a guy who has half an arm, and he's fighting another man who wants to hurt him badly, and he's beating him. I think this is one of the greatest things that I've seen in 20 plus years of watching sports, not just like combat sports, watching any sport. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I think the UFC is really missing the boat with this. You know, he didn't look great in this fight. Like, this wasn't his best performance. But, I mean, how can you deny the guy's got major skill? And it's such a great story. It's unbelievable. I mean, they would get so much good press from signing him. It just kind of – it baffles me that they haven't at this point. I think he's proven his abilities as a fighter well beyond, you know, being a gimmick because of his you know, his handicap that he was born with, or, you know, I don't even know if handicap's the right word, but, you know, the guy's a phenomenal fighter. He should be fighting the best guys in the world. And I think he was kind of a case where he maybe fought down to the level of his opponent a little bit. You know, but I think he's great to watch. He's awesome, and he should be getting more opportunities.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I know the UFC, you know, their stance on it is, oh, our sponsors and Fox would get all upset if they see a guy with one arm, you know, getting beat up in a cage. And but it's just like, you had that PhD, what's her name, Rosie Sexton, English girl fighter. And I saw her fight maybe 6 or 8 months ago, and she got hit 280 times in three rounds. Her opponent was ripping off 6 and 8 punch combinations. She was a punching bag. And then they let her fight again. I think she fought in another promotion. But to put a punching bag in the cage like that, that's okay. And then, you know, put some of these other girls with 500 records. But now you got a guy who's 11-1 or 10-1. Whose only issue is he was born with a with only half an arm, but can still beat the shit out of guys. He's not allowed in?
Yeah. Hey, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
If I was the booker, I'd be signing him, but you know, I'm not. So,
I mean, this guy is not Zach Gallen. He's not a jabroni. You know, he's not the guy that Brock Lesnar is going to pick up and throw down the stairs.
No. And also, like, you know, there's other guys. Like, there's Matt Betzold, right? He's got one leg and he fights, but he sucks. He's not that good. You know, it's not like you'd be just signing the guy because of the fact he's, you know, got half an arm. He's a damn good fighter. I mean, throw all the other shit out the window. What if there's an NBA player with one arm, you know? You think Fox would be getting pissed at them because of that?
Yeah, I don't understand it, man. It's just typical UFC bullshit. It's the same thing, you know. Oh, Ben Askren hasn't beaten anybody. Oh, really? And then you see some girl fighter co-main eventing a pay-per-view who's 5-5. As you know, nothing makes sense with those people, and you know, they're a major reason why a lot of people are turning away from this sport and becoming less passionate about it. But, you know, that's an unrelated rant. But what did you think of the main event with David Branch?
Oh, my God. Why? Why was this guy in the main event? I mean, I understand the situation. I know Ronnie Marks got sick and couldn't fight and had a tough weight cut, and they forced him out of the fight. But, man, there's other people in New England. If you want somebody from New England, I lived there for years. I could give you 10 names off the top of my head who they should have grabbed, and not this guy. This guy was no good, man. I'm sorry. I know people that train with him. I like those people. But this guy, I do not want to watch him fight. He was terrible.
And he looked really out of shape.
He looked like fucking Dude Love with less skill. He was garbage. Dave Branch carried him. It was terrible. Don't watch it. Save yourself.
So that was a guy who was 5-1 coming in to that bout. You know, I don't know, man. I mean, is talent just not out there that these guys are getting these last minute opportunities?
I don't get. I mean, I understand he was on the undercard. He was fighting another guy from up there that they probably sold a bunch of tickets. So you pull him into the main event, but there's other guys out there who are much, much tougher, who are in the area, who aren't locked in under contract to anybody, who they could have grabbed. You know, and hey, whatever, they got this guy. And you know, maybe there are contract stuff and disputes I don't know about and issues. But, man, this guy was not good.
Yeah, you know, World Series of Fighting is really – you know, I thought it was headed in the right direction maybe a little over a year ago, and now it's just becoming more and more like it's news that they're still putting on shows.
Yeah, it sucks because there's guys like, you know, you get this thing with Gallard, and there's been other guys bitching about not being able to get fights, and then, you know, this whole, they put on a light heavyweight tournament, which looked really good on paper. I mean, you had Matt Hamill against Vinny Magalhães, and, you know, it's an interesting fight, and then you get Ronnie Marks against Thiago Silva, I think was the other, oh no, there was maybe the other fight coming up, or maybe I have it mixed up somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But it ends up being, you know, you get Dave Branch and Jesse McGillicott. And the other fight was what? You got Teddy Holder stepping in on short notice against Thiago Silva because Matt Hamill didn't fight. You know, so that whole light heavyweight tournament they had going, which looked good to me. I was interested. I was excited to see that. You know, kind of fell apart. And, you know, I think their shows have really suffered because of that.
Yeah, I'm just shocked. I mean, I have a general idea how much it costs to buy the time on NBC and get the arena and pay these guys. And I just can't believe they're still in business. And the investors, I know, you know, they got, what's the guy's name? Sig Robich, who is a very close confidant of President Ronald Reagan in the 80s. And he's a big communications tycoon, PR guy, big deal in Vegas. And he's involved in investing money into World Series of Fighting. And then there's, I guess, some other money involved. But I don't know what they're seeing here. I mean, Where is this headed?
I don't know. You know, they did get good good publicity last week with that Gaethje-Palomino fight. I did see on Twitter a lot of people, you know, talked about that fight. Like, I think I was at the casino, and you know, I checked my Twitter. It's blowing up. People saying they're tuning in to watch that fight, and I'm switching it to World Series of Fighting right now. So, I mean, that was a big uptick for him last week, but this week kind of seems like back to business as usual. So.
Yeah. Do you know when their next card is?
I believe it's in Canada is their next show, because that's got the heavyweight title fight. But I couldn't tell you the date on it. I believe it's in, and I don't even know what part, maybe Edmonton.
Yeah. You know, and just to – we'll wrap it up here. I just want to talk a little bit about next Saturday. I'm actually going up to New Jersey. You know, I was really – I mean, I was – maybe I'm just being a baby about it, but I was really looking forward to Jacare and Yoel Romero. And now that's off, and Chris Camozzi, who, you know, I know, and I've plenty of mutual friends, and I have a lot of respect for him. He got the call to fight Jacare, and, you know, of course, he's already lost to Jacare, and he lost four in a row in the UFC. And now he's coming back, and it was just kind of disappointing that that's going to be the fight in the co-main event. It just seems like they're spreading themselves so thin that they, even on 8 days' notice, you know, if the check says the right amount of is the right amount, you're going to be able to find somebody, you know, who's, you know, in the top 10 or 12. So that was a bit of a letdown for me. Were you surprised when you heard about Camozzi stepping in for the injured Romero?
Well, Brian, you're the one that told me, so you got my response.
Yeah.
So yeah,
You're surprised. You're supposed to kayfabe it.
No. Well, yeah, I was surprised. You know, it's not the name I expected to hear, but I mean, yeah, I guess. Without looking at the top 10, I guess I'm just kind of surprised that it maybe didn't pull Bisping into the fight or even CB Dolloway, you know. And even Jacare was asking for Bisping. So
yeah,
it's kind of strange to see Camozzi get brought back in, especially after, you know, it's not like he had two losses and was out of the UFC. He did have four. But hey, good for him. You know, he gets an opportunity, and people have been able to take advantage of big opportunities like this, and maybe this is a possibility for him.
Sure. I mean, on a positive note, I mean, Machida and Rockhold, one of the fights that I'm really looking forward to, you know, in this year, I think it should be great. I favor Rockhold. I don't know. Machida's such a tough riddle to figure out. I don't know if you have any strong feelings on that.
No, that's a really tough one to call. Pretty much like any Machida fight is. There's always the opportunity that he, you know, blasts you straight down the pipe on a counter and knocks your head off, or you know, or you can't catch him for 15 minutes and he picks you apart and the judges give him the decision, or you know, he could be backpedaling the whole time and have the person chase him and they end up winning. So like you said, it's a riddle, and it's an easier one. It's kind of like a Matt Riddle in a way. It's a tough one to figure out, you know?
Sure. Yeah, and then the other two fights on the main card is Max Holloway and Cub Swanson, which I think should be good, and Felice Herrig versus Steven Van Zandt's daughter, Paige Van Zandt. And some of you Springsteen fans would know that Steven Van Zandt is part of the E Street Band, but it turns out her dad's name really is Steve.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I don't think she had heard of the Steve Van Zandt that was on The Sopranos and was Springsteen's, you know, his, I guess his guitar, his secondary guitar guy, yeah. You know, all those years.
And she's fighting, it's Felice. She was, she's related to Mr. Perfect and Larry the Axe, right? Felice Herrig?
Yeah, Larry the Axe, and then also related to Axelmania, right?
Yeah. That may be a bit of a stretch on that one, but
yeah, because I mean, nobody's as, you know, at the level of Axelmania. I mean, the most over guy in the company right now.
Hey, what was the other fight that you said is on that show besides the Herring Van Zandt fight?
Holloway and Swanson.
Holloway and Swanson. Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one too. And then even in the preliminary, you know, we're going to find out if Patrick Cummings is for real. He's fighting OSP, who's a tough guy.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight. I'm surprised that one's on the prelim portion. Because that one, you can even throw that. I think you could throw that on as a second fight on a pay-per-view or, you know, something along those lines even. Because, OSP's headlined some cards. He's had some good showings. He had that, you know, the win over Shogun.
And then the other fight I'm really looking forward to is Sterling versus Mizugaki. A lot of people saying Sterling's a real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, Mitsugaki's he's proven himself to be pretty tough, so we'll see if Aljamain's got what it takes.
And then, you know, on the fight pass, Diego Brandão versus Jimmy Hettis. That's pretty good for fight pass. Chris Dempsey versus Eddie Gordon also on there. Corey Anderson versus Vellante, you know, one of Weidman's training partners out there in Long Island.
John, who has the most, I guess it would be creative spelling of John I've ever seen, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, what about, let's cover these, the results from today real quick from this first ever show in Krakow, right?
All right. Yeah. We can cover it. I just got to pause. I got to take a piss. Is that cool? Do you want to go over the results and then I'll just come back whenever?
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Yeah, so you take it from here. I'll be back in a second.
All right, I'll take over. All right. So so basically, I was able to catch the very end of this show with Mirko Krokop and Gonzaga. And going into the third round, Mirko comes out and gets the finish. Gonzaga had controlled the first two rounds, taking him down, was on top. At the end of the second round, opened a pretty nasty cut over Mirko's left eye. And at this point, it didn't look like Mirko was going to have too much for Gonzaga. It looked like it was going to be, you know, Gonzaga getting a takedown and pounding him out. But third round starts, and Mirko starts stuffing his takedown attempts, you know, is able to get some shots off, and they're up against the cage. And out of nowhere, Mirko lands a beautiful left elbow to the temple of Gonzaga, and you see him rocked. He falls down, and Mirko's able to, you know, pour it on with some punches and get the referee stoppage there in the third round. So, you know, Mirko was able to come back from the jaws of defeat. And, you know, we can bring this up with Brian too, but I think the most important thing to take out of this fight is the fact that the UFC gets to keep a headliner strong in Europe. Mirko looked good coming back, you know, basically coming back from a 2-0 deficit, gets the finish in the third round, you know, and I think people are willing to still watch him fight. I think people are willing to pay to see him fight. And, you know, I think it was a good performance and that, you know, he'll continue to be a big draw for the UFC in Europe. So, you know, in the co-main event, we had Jimmy Manoa beating Jan Blachowicz by decision. You know, mostly stand-up fight, went through decision. You know, I thought that this fight would end for sure with a KO, but as it goes a lot of times when you think the fight's going to end early, it carries out and Manoa gets the unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 on the scorecards. Similar fight here, you had Paul Pawlak defeating Sheldon Westcott and giving Poland a big win on this show. But again, unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28. 29-28. Pawlak looked good, was able to, you know, stuff some takedown attempts by Westcott and get the decision. And this one, the opener on the main card, I'm kicking myself. Marina Moroes defeated Joanne Calderwood by submission at 1 minute and 30 seconds into the fight via armbar. I believe this is her fifth or sixth win. I think she's 6-0 at this point. And, you know, virtually all of her wins coming by armbar. And she'll throw him up from inside the clinch. She'll jump guard and try to throw him up from the ground. Basically here, she outstruck Calderwood, rushed in, landed some nice strikes. They clinched up against the cage. And, I mean, for lack of a better term, Marina Moroes did a flying armbar lands on her back and is able to get the submission win. It looked great. First thing they do right after she wins, they cut to a shot of Joanna Jędrzejczyk in the crowd. You know, so maybe they're trying to set that angle up in the future.
So, Tom, I'm back here. You talk about Moreau's.
Yeah.
Did you see Dana tweet the picture out of her?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, it was and it wasn't really like in fight gear. It was like they're trying to like set her up as the next. It kind of sounds weird, but the next Paige VanZant, or you know, maybe the European version of Paige VanZant.
So basically they're like a sex symbol. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah. And if you Google pictures of her, like out of fight gear, like she looks like a model. I mean,
yeah. So do I. Say they're trying to make her like Tom Lawler then.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about this Morose girl. And then I don't know if you already talked about what's her name? Albu?
Alexandra Albu. Yeah. Who's another, yeah, man, she's hot.
yeah. So that's what seems to sell with the female fighter. So I expect that trend to continue. And that's I'm not saying that's the only thing Sean Shelby's looking for, but if you got that going for you, it's going to make his decision to sign you a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't catch the prelim card, but I did see Leon Edwards beat Seth Baczynski, knockout 8 seconds in the first round. Baczynski came out and threw like a kick, didn't set it up with strikes, caught with a big punch, and went down. And Edwards threw two punches on the ground and got up and started walking away before the ref stepped in. So definite highlight, real knockout there by Leon Edwards. And the other things that stuck out, you know, like you're saying, Alexandra Albu, not just because she looks pretty good, but she also looked good in the fight and beat Isabella Baderek by submission, guillotine choke. You know, she basically was just defending a takedown, jumped guard, and had the guillotine in really nice and tight. I'd have to check the stats on this, but I remember seeing a stat earlier that said Bartosz Fabinski, he beat Gareth McClellan 30-27 on all scorecards, but he landed, it was some astonishing number, like 91% of strikes. And it was like 160 something out of 100, you know, 70 strikes landed and 9 out of 10 takedowns. So I haven't seen this fight, but I want to go watch it to see what kind of beating Fabinski was able to put down. And the other notable thing on this undercard, Brian, and you'll love this one, is in his UFC debut, Booker T's brother, Stevie Ray, defeated Marcin Kandel by TKO, round 2, 135.
Now, is he older than Shamrock?
I don't know. I don't know what the kayfabe age is, but he's Booker T's older brother. Yeah. So,
but just to talk about that for a little bit. Now, I think Booker T and Stevie Ray had heat for like 20 years or like for a long time or something. And now they've only recently reconciled.
Really? I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, they're one of those guys. They're both pretty damn big.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what it was. I mean, I thought it was just a gimmick that they were brothers, but no, they're real brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. They're legit.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought that was just some kind of wrestling gimmick. You know, just like they're from Harlem, even though they're from Houston, Texas. But yeah, just thought I had to throw that in there.
Yep. Well, and that pretty much ends the prelim card. You know, the only other thing you may care about is you had Yalton Mesa beat Damian Meat Stasiak by unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Did you catch that reference there, Brian?
Sandow? Or
no.
The Mizdow?
It's Damian Stasiak.
Oh.
I threw out a Sean Stasiak meat reference. Do you remember that?
I do.
He wrestled with an erection.
Was that late?
He was forced to wrestle with an erection, Brian. Think about that.
Yeah. How does that happen? What caused it?
Well, when you get the pretty mean sisters there, oh. You know, I think it was Jacqueline. What was her name? Goldust's old wife, Marlena.
Oh yeah, and, she's a very classy lady. I heard she was dating New Jack, who is just a tremendous human being and
outstanding citizen.
Yeah, I mean, just the type of guy that you pray runs for public office.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, I think we're all caught up on this big weekend MMA blast we had here. So,
yeah. All right. So, I guess we'll just do this a shoot on the air. I don't know when we'll record next week. We should probably do during the week because I'm going to be in Newark on Friday night, Saturday night, and then I get home Sunday night. So one of these times that you're free, that you know, you're not at the gym, we'll just do next weekend's show. Is that cool?
Sounds perfect.
All right. Yeah, and I would say, hey, let's do it on site. Like, but the hotel internet's always like fucking terrible. Yeah, yeah. I can't even get the network, WWE network, to work, or I can sometimes barely get the damn internet to work.
Oh my god, Brian, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because when I get to a hotel, you know, I'm like, I've been traveling all day. I want to catch up on NXT or just watch, you know, Starrcade 87 or something and just go to sleep, and then the fucking thing won't work. All right, so that's the Filthy FRB show for Saturday, April 11th. You'll be hearing from us.
I grieve for where this country's going to go. This country's going to be destroyed.